for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
And I'm Paul James.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture of PlayStation podcast. Over 50 years of playing PlayStation and like 20-something years in their games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation. This is where Max normally jumps in and goes, this PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on your podcast. No, wait, it's Tuesdays now. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. on your on your podcast. Oh, damn it. Oh, Max is in the chat. There he is.
He's in the chat. What Max can just put the... Max, can you type the script into the chat.
Yeah, because yeah, I forgot it. So this conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on your podcasters and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you want to join us in future conversations, be sure to check us out on Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and whichever. All those links can be found in the description below. But if you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures. We watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family, base PlayStation Pod. And if you want to support it financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. What's Max got in there? The question comes happens.
He's
giving me the bits that I kind of did incorrectly. But yeah, no Max this week.
Look, I'm glad I'm nearly at the end of my... We're nearly at the end of my tenure before the footy season kicks off in a few weeks, and no one at any point has asked me to fill in. It's just, no, you'll just power on if Max is away or whatever. Don't worry about him. We don't need Paul to do it. And I appreciate that, by the way, because I would not get it right in the window that I've been on the show.
Look, as your first go at like host, you know, third host of the show, like I didn't want to put that pressure on you to have to remember any of the spiel, because like,
next summer, then I gotta do it.
Well, that's what I'm saying, like second time around, less excuse, you know what I'm saying? Like,
probably just gotta step up my game.
Yeah. So Max is doing well, as you can hear, he's in the chat jumping away. He's just like, look, can I step out of the show tonight? I'm like, yes you can, that is more than fine. Sometimes we deserve breaks. And Max is most definitely deserved breaks. But the breaks have not been stopping on you, Padge. How has your week been?
Mate, it's been a shit show. I don't think I put it in like our little group chat that we're a part of, but my daughter was in hospital from like Monday midnight.
No, into, you did not mention that at all. Yeah. And it would have been nice to know, because we could have been there for you, dude.
No, it was for the most part, it was fine. Like, she was presenting, so through Monday, she was presenting with a bunch of gastro symptoms. And like, hey, it's gastro, we'll make it work. We popped down to Chemist Warehouse towards the end of the day. Fucking Australia Day ruined that for me. Ooh, they were closed. And then we got her to bed anyway. A couple hours later, blown out her nappy, there's blood in there as well. Starts setting off a few red flags. This was I don't know, 10:30, something like that. So then my wife's on the phone to your nurse on calls and all that, like all those sorts of, you know, different services. Again, public holidays, struggling, I think, a little bit to try and get doctors. It took a good 45 minutes and we still got no one. So that, and it was still going on and she was still having a lot of pain from the stomach. So we got the paramedics over, the ambulance over. They came out to look. All the vitals were good. But they're like, we can't ignore what's going on here. You should probably take her in. So she was in the children's then from, I guess Monday into Tuesday, like midnight, all the way through till Wednesday, late Wednesday afternoon. Wow. And look, ultimately it seems to have all kind of played out like it was gastro, but we were thinking maybe salmonella, cause we had some chicken the night before. And, I don't know. Like, I was having to mute myself a little bit when I was on the show with you guys, because I was farting up a storm and I didn't want to blow out the microphone. And my wife had an upset stomach as well. So going, maybe it was something about the chicken. And my son, he just was, you know, being a 7-year-old and sometimes
he's got
a bit
boy
dickish and decided. He's just like 7-year-old and being a bit of a dick from time to time, as kids can be. And he decided he didn't want any chicken that night. He's just refusing to have it. And he was the one that was perfectly fine.
Well, I was going
to
say,
that was where my head went.
I was thinking more like he had boy guts, where they can just eat whatever the hell and they don't die, right? Like, he could eat the chicken and be like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, it could be that too. But then, like, the at the hospital for at least the first day. They were trying to tell my wife it was, because I, the thing about it was, like, this was all on the eve of me going to my first day of my new job as well. I end up staying home with my son while he slept through the night. Woke up the next morning blissfully unaware that we'd had an ambulance in the front yard and paramedics in the house and explosive efforts on the toilet. So I ended up sticking around at home while she went in. They tried to tell her that it was some overseas acquired bacterial infection. Like, sorry guys, we haven't been overseas in her entire life. But anyway, at the end of the day, after when she eventually went home, Wednesday afternoon, it seems to have all just played out like gastro. There must be some other sort of little spice to it, but that kind of caused it to be that bit more severe. But that was it. And then from there, actually, started the new job. My father-in-law came over and looked after my son, because he wouldn't start school until the Thursday. So father-in-law came over, looked after my son, and I went off to work, and it's been okay. It was a week full of meetings. I haven't taught anyone yet.
Nice.
How's that tomorrow, when we record?
I said I was going to make a comment, but then I was going to say what I think I was going to not say. It's like, it's funny that you're like, oh, it just sort of worked itself out. Because to be super graphic, something happened to me the other week, and I was like, damn. Might go to the bathroom and there's blood. That should be a concern. And then I just didn't do anything about it. And then it went away. And then I spoke to Phoebe and I was like, hey, Phoebe, this happened to me like last week. She's like, did you do anything about that? I'm like, no, it just went away. She's like, that's not good. So that when you were like, oh, it just went away, my brain was like, Phoebe said that's not good.
Yeah, no, to be fair, she was in hospital.
I'm giving you, I am just saying that's where my brain went, which made it funny. But
the difference is that you did nothing. But yeah.
I did nothing. Couldn't tell you how it happened. Couldn't tell you where it went. It has just stopped. But outside of that as a conversation, because I shouldn't have even said that. How is the new?
Mate, I was the one that also said moments. I was also saying moments ago that I was just farting up a storm while we were on the show last week.
Oh, I would have
it so that you guys were none the wiser. So it was all right.
It would have been dope. I would have just let it all in the air. Just, you know, like just
turn around.
Yeah. That's anyway, that real gurgle.
I'm sure. I was just watching that back on the Twitch stream. Yeah, no, I mean, look, it's fine. Yeah, it was a week full of meetings.
As in, like, does the vibe feel cool? The culture feel?
Yeah, good? Vibe's good.
Yeah,
vibes are real good. And credit to them. Like, my very first day, I'm straight into leadership, and yet, I was having a bit of a nightmare with all the stuff going on at home, and it felt like every meeting it was just like crashing against my head, and nothing was being retained because my head was kind of elsewhere, not sure what was going on. So, they're all really good about it because I wasn't really in it for about the first 2 days. And they just, you know, it was kind of anything you need, if you need to go, just go. Don't worry about processes. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. Just all the messaging is, you know, we don't want you here for a few years. We want you here for 30 years.
That's nice.
And yeah, I'd kind of heard a lot. They're very, very family oriented, but they kind of, I'm sure that they probably weren't expecting to have to
deal with it day one.
Project it, show it, deal with it day one, but they did. But yeah, they're awesome. So
that's good.
I get into some teaching tomorrow as of when we record this. And
what's your,
then
what's
I can
your
just kind of settle into work. Some year 12 VMs. It's the old VCAL.
Oh, well, okay. Well, that's a maybe easy way to step in.
I would say, and you are, I know you're not a big football person, but you're,
well, I'm about to talk a whole bunch of wrestling at you,
least,
so like,
you're least
much footy as you want.
You at least understand this because you are a Richmond supporter. It's like sending Dustin Martin to go play in the VFL. Like, you're really wasting one of your best resources. But anyway,
but it's not, you're not teaching. There's more than just the VFL.
No. That's like one. That's one class out of four. Yeah. The rest are all.
Yeah, Max, in the chat, I'm about to talk a shitload of wrestling. Thank God I dodged that. Yeah, I do. I did find it interesting.
He's still in the chat. He's still in the chat to listen in anyway.
Yeah, I did find it interesting that you were like, hey, can I not do the show this week? I'm like, is it because of the wrestling? I didn't want to ask him because he said, you know, it was, you know, I want that off. I'm like, okay, all right.
Mute. When I say football, I don't mean soccer or American football.
I mean AFL. Aussie rules.
I mean AFL. Australian rules football. The football, vastly superior coach.
Where you actually kick the ball with your foot, but you also have to stack with your hand as well, which is real weird.
Soccer does that a lot. But yeah.
A nice hat, Ryan. Thank you. Hustle Lord in respect. WWE 2K23 gift packed from 2K. I'm not shilling for them. Yeah, I'm going to shill for them later. But in terms of myself, like my week's been pretty cool. Nothing major, just working. As I do, it was my, I know I've talked about this over the in previous episodes, over the holiday break, I did pick up a job at JB Hi-Fi here in Geelong. My last shift, as far as I'm aware of, was yesterday. They chose not to keep me on up because I think it's Feb 8th or whatever. And I was, and when they rang me and I was like, oh, that's absolutely fine. Like it was super helpful over Christmas. But you know, the second my other job was like, you have a second job? And I was like, yeah, my hours just started like kicking in a gear. And, I'm
and to
also-
be fair, it's also because you stole a couple TVs, you stole a PS5 Pro, and
That's why I keep mentioning every week that I don't have a PS5 Pro. Just, I'm just creating evidence for the court case later down the line, which I have now ruined. but yeah,
You're
no. Whoops, my bad. It's all in joke. It was a joke. It was just, I didn't steal nothing. But yeah, it was pretty much one of those things. So it was helping me over Christmas. And then now that I've got, you know, more regular clients in my other job, my hours then were able to get more more regular. And with wrestling kicking back in and having my son every second weekend, I had no, there was like, my availability was shit. It was like nothing. So when he rang me, he was like, look, it's just, it's not performance, it's about availability. I'm like, yeah, and I agree, because I'm busy as hell all the time. I really enjoyed the job. Like we've got a couple of mates that, that have worked at JB, and they you know say it's good stuff, and I would agree with them. And I was like, oh yeah, sure, it's not that good, but it's been great. The people are really cool. The job is enjoyably easy comparative to my main job, which is you know working in youth and mental health supports and disability supports. It's real head draining sort of stuff. Where going to JB, it's you want to talk about this TV, yeah. Do you want to talk about these games? I'm like, yeah. What about this music? I'm like,
Like you heard it here first, everyone. To all those people over many, many years that have complained about the retail lifestyle, shut up. It's easy.
Well, look, for me, like, when
from,
I compare,
from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, look, when I compare the two, for me, it was easier because I could talk about the things that I want. And like, I never felt the pressure to sell because I got to talk about things I wanted to. So, if it was a sell, sweet. It's like
it, don't put a disclaimer on it. Retail's easy. Anyone who complains about it is just a whingy, whiny.
Remember,
bitch.
I did
that's,
it.
That's I'm paraphrasing. That's what
I
she
did
said.
It for like 5 months, right? So like, you know, for a 5 month stint, yeah. And also, I've not worked retail since 2013. So like, I've been I've been far enough away from it that I'm like. You know, it was fun to do that again. Do I want to do it permanently? No.
Yeah, no.
But I really enjoyed it. Like, and this is so what I'm getting to here, and you mentioned like stealing stuff, and that's not where I'm going with this. But like one of the beauties of working in that role is stealing things. And secondly is
if you second, don't laugh, you've got criminal charges coming.
Yeah, is the staff discount. So like I've got about another week. That I can take full advantage of this staff discount. So, chat, Paul, what should I do? I know the original consideration was the PS5 Pro.
Look, this is all very interesting news to me because I get my long service leave paid out on Wednesday. That's in time.
That is in time.
Daddy could do with another TV that you stole.
Yeah. Tell me about the speakers I linked you said, Max. Oh, yeah.
Fell off the back of a truck.
I should probably look at that. Bruce, I can't tell you what the staff discount price is because that's...
You don't really know until you ring it up.
Yeah, pretty much.
don't they basically just get it... Oh, I could be wrong. Don't they just get it for just slightly over the cost price?
Yeah, mostly. It's pretty consistent. What was insane was like cables. Like charging cables and like screen cases and shit.
Oh, it's egregious the markup on those things.
It's disgusting. Like no one should ever fucking pay full price for a phone case ever. Like what's that brand that does the really cool branded ones? It's like Caseify or whatever. They are fucking not worth like the $80 that they're asking for. Those things are worth pennies, cents, fuck all, which, you know, as
that interests me because I've got a very shit phone cover.
But yeah, there's
and an already broken phone. So
oh no, that's not good.
It's bad boy.
Ooh, oh, that's seen some stuff. Oh no,
that's all one phone call where I took it off my mount in the car.
Yeah.
And then I thought, I was chatting to my mum on the phone and then, you know, popped it between the ear and the shoulder.
Yeah.
Bad boy just slipped straight out.
Ooh.
Onto the driveway.
Oh, no, that's so much worse. Oof, rough. But yeah, so I was thinking maybe that, like, that cracked Guitar Hero guitar, because my one's still a bit fucked. That seems like reasonable. Hey, look, this is all on the presumption I have money, which I don't. So losing the second job, not ideal.
This is where you just embrace the whole quote unquote girl math thing, right?
Oh, like, as Max says in the chat, boy math.
Yeah,
to bang on time.
Just embrace the girl math thing, which is like, it costs a lot of money. I don't really have that money, but it costs me less money, so it's a good buy.
You know what? That could work.
it doesn't make a lick of sense. It's stupid thinking. Like, my wife only ever trots out, she'll deliberately say girl math at me
because you're a math teacher.
I know this is a stupid you. Oh no, it's not even that. No, it's like, it's more just a financially responsible individual.
Oh, yeah,
but it's and it very rarely happens. Like, she very rarely goes down this irresponsible shopping path anyway, but sometimes she knows that she's making one of those and she deliberately just trots the girl math phrase out there for me to know that, Paul, there's no rational thing you can say here that is going to change my mind. I'm buying this thing and you're just going to have to suck it up.
Yeah. And she's like, and she just kind of points at your wall of collector's editions and you're like, you know what? You may purchase the whatever you wish to purchase.
They took like 15, 20 years to collect. Skyrim's from 2011. People can't see that, but...
Oh, there's a Skyrim one back
there. It's there.
But yeah. But look, one thing I had considered doing was, like, you know, purchasing some Vidya games. Because I don't really buy discs. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll get like Claire Expedition. That'd be fun to play. And I get it at like a staff rate. That'd be kind of cool. But I didn't do that. Instead, we have been playing other games this week. So let's get into the section. We talk about what we've been playing. Now, Pad, you are at a disadvantage.
Speak for yourself.
Are
NDA. I'm embargoed.
You're embargoed. You are unable to speak about the games that you are playing. I am, as far as I'm aware, they are games. Is that correct?
They are, in fact, video games.
Perfect. There you go.
On my PlayStation. Both are being played on my PlayStation 5.
Wow.
That is
some groundbreaking.
One of them, people, I won't even be on this show by the time the embargo lifts on it. So.
That's sad, because I might just have to
make a cameo appearance for that particular episode.
We'll do more of the players or something, maybe.
Put a bit of a bow on it.
Yeah.
Put a little bit of a bow on it.
Yeah, so that kind of leaves you out. But that does leave me, I guess. So the one that we touched upon previously, because Max mentioned that he had played it, was Quarantine Break The Last Check, is, I believe, its full name. So big thank you to the team over at... who handles Devolver here?
Power Up,
thank you. I always get Power Up and Double Jump mixed up. It's one of those moments of, fuck. I'm like, it's your mate, you know, Doug, and he's dope. And Connor,
Doug.
They're awesome. Yeah, so big thank you to Tim over at Power Up. Excuse my brain fart, for the review code. So what caught my attention about this game originally is I saw a clip on Twitter from Devolver of someone not handling the game correctly. it made me chuckle. So to put it as relatively simple, yet probably going to make no sense as I say it, this game, you play as the guy that runs this quarantine zone, this checkpoint in the apocalypse. Your job is to assess individuals, go through them, scan them over, to determine whether they are like healthy, sick, or infected. So you are given a series of tools that you unlock on how to assess the individuals, and then you check them off.
It's apocalyptic papers, please.
Exactly. It's apocalyptic paper, please. It's zombie contraband police. That's what it is. It's stacks of fun. So you've got three options. You send them through to the Survivor Bay. You can go to send them to quarantine if you're not quite sure and you want to see if the symptoms get worse. You can lick or you can liquefy them, which means you send them into a cargo container and they get shot. And then there's a body bag. And there's a pile of those body bags. And then later on, you'll open a laboratory.
And burn them.
Yeah, pretty much. You open a laboratory where you can, like, that's a new symptom. Hook them in the lab, pull out their organs and find the thing that's making them be dodgy. And then go from there, which is awesome fun. But what makes this game interesting and what... It caught my attention simply because it's the management games that I love, right? I enjoyed Contraband Please. I enjoyed Papers, Please. I'm like, oh, cause me more of that in a cool setting. In the same way that I love my simulator games, and I'll play any of them as long as they're wrapped in a cool skin that catches my attention. Like, you know, Trading Card Game Shop and Supermarket Simulator
yes.
are very near identical. They're just rebranded into something, let's reskin to something else. So same concept. But what makes this a little more interesting is it adds two other different game modes as kind of mini games. One of them is base management, which I did not know was part of the game until I played it. So while I'm, you know, after a couple of days of doing my, you know, scanning folks and being like, you're a zombie, you have a giant bite mark on your forehead, I don't believe you that you have no symptoms. So then you go, oh, you need to make sure everyone's fed. So you do this pull-out mode, gross. And then you sort of...
The pull-out game is good.
Yeah, the pull-out game is pretty sweet, this game. Yeah, so you hover above the base and you realize that you can upgrade, like, the generator and the tents and all this sort of stuff. So you got a little bit... It's very, very minor. It's not, like, hard base management. But it's pretty simple. Just, like, oh, upgrade here and there and kind of distribute it as you play. Then, on some what appears to be randomly allocated evenings, you know, your in-game character wakes up and it's like, you know, your quarantine zone's being bombarded. So you have to then get into a drone and then the game becomes like a wave tower defense game in that you're in this drone and like waves of zombies are coming at you and you've got to like take them out with the machine guns and assorted weaponry that you've unlocked, right? So I'm like, huh, okay. So like...
That wasn't a layer I was expecting last
me
week.
Me either.
When we were talking about...
I'm like, okay, so it's not like every night in the game this happens. It's like every couple and it just switches it up a little bit to make it even additionally and more intriguing for me. Like the idea of just scanning folks and like doing the checklist stuff and just, you know, minor task management stuff, blast for me in a video game. So that's what that was the selling point for me. And then these other layers came in. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. And like,
There's a bit more to this.
Yeah, it's not like all consuming in how it alters it, but yeah, it's just enough to break up the what could be as perceived monotony. Like if it's a genre that you've never really messed with before and you're like, okay, it's the same thing like every in-game day. Like, oh, no, there's a little bit of this, there's a little bit of that. And it kind of, you know, winds up a little bit. With it being through Devolver, it is not, you know, a big AAA game. It is like a very well-polished AA. I would probably the best way to explain it. I apologize to the team. I can't remember the name of the development team. But the beauty of the game is that because it's happening in such a small confined space, it allows it to have really strong fidelity.
Quarantine Zone, the last check comes from Brigada Games.
Thank you very much, those guys. Brigade or Brigade. Which either or. Whatever we are. Thank you. The game's great. Yeah. Where was I going with that? I totally forgot. Oh, yeah. It looks fantastic. Yeah. So they're like, it has that little bit of jank to it. It's not like, you know, AAA brilliant, but where it needs to, it really counts. So like when you zoom in on someone's face to sort of check for their symptomology, it looks really good. Like it's not, you know, ultra realistic, but it's very high quality. And the motion's yep. really kind of smooth and nice. And like, you know, various things are on their bodies kind of stand out. Like if they've got like a bit of bruising coloring is really interesting. They've got the purples and the yellows and it all kind of, it looks like an impressively real bruise. It's like gangrene, but it's not like they have that where it's kind of gets all, why can't I think of the term?
Yeah, I don't know.
I forget what
the bit of internal bleeding. Let's just go with that.
Yeah, like yeah. So there's all these different things. Like they'll come in and they'll have, you know, various eye coloring, and then that sort of lines up something as well. Yeah, it's really well done for what it is, and the beauty of it being in such a small game world. Yeah, you can just crank up other things that make it feel entertaining and feel good, feel like it looks good. Mechanically, it's super simple. I'm really, really digging it. It's a shame that it's not on consoles yet, because I'd still play it there too. But once again, it's on PC, and I'm still playing it and absolutely loving it. So no complaints from me.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I really, really enjoy it. It was interesting because like once I started heading into those additional game... Necrosis... Sorry, Phoebe messaged me. Necrosis is the word I wanted. So like where Max, I was like, oh, you know, you played. I'm like, did you see these parts? He's like, no, I bounced that way before that. I'm like, oh. I'm like, because I think that may, like, I don't think it would have tipped him over the line into enjoying it. But I would be wondering if it would be like, oh, that, you know.
He pulled out too early.
Yeah. His pullout game was a little soon. It's a little soon.
Bit brief.
Game wasn't quite ready for it. Max asks in the chat, how Assassin's Creed Valhalla going? So I think I mentioned it last week that I gave Phoebe the option of what game she wanted to play, and she has selected Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Valhalla wasn't the ones that you gave
no,
the option to.
No, it wasn't at all. And because it was one.
So I thought I completely misread or misunderstood a conversation when you then popped
in
the chat
last week,
the next day or the day. No, you were talking about like. Final Fantasy VII remake, or you know, it was all like JRPGs, and then all of a sudden the next day you message like she's playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I'm like, that wasn't what?
Yeah, okay,
that wasn't a thing.
I'll explain how this. So last week on the show, for those that may have missed it, we were discussing what games should my partner Phoebe jump into now that she's finished Yotai, and she doesn't want to burn herself out on Two Point Museum. I'm like, that is fair. Enjoy it. Don't let it kill you. Right. Some of the choices I had was Final Fantasy VII Remake. I thought would be interesting, knowing that she has liked it in the past. Liked Final Fantasy in the past. Persona 5 I thought would be interesting just from the turn based play. I thought that'd be
gross.
Be fun. Gross. But then I was thinking about it, like, okay, well, I tried Red Dead thinking that she loved the world of Yotai, because it was, you know, it's really fun. And like, well, the world of Red Dead is ridiculous. Like, it's awesome. But for her, it was a little too plotting. It was a little too immersive sim. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So well, let's not go that way. What if we headed it? Yeah, I was thinking, well, what if we head into Assassin's Creed? Because one of the big things she enjoyed about Yotai was the theme of it, right? Like it's set in this in this place at this time of the world, blah, 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 right? Like, okay, well, Assassin's Creed offers that in a stack of different locations. And knowing that, like, museum hooked her because it was a museum. Like, if she played Two Point Hospital or Two Point Campus, she wouldn't have given a shit. The museum is a big part of it, right?
Yep.
So I was like, okay. And then I gave her the list. I was like, look, these are the places, you know, it's Egypt, it's Greece, it's, you know, Viking, you know, Scandinavia, there's like Italy, there's a France, there's like American Civil War, et cetera, et cetera. And she's like, well, the Viking one sounds pretty rad. I was like, all right, cool. Valhalla it is. And because that way it will also hit on loot-based RPGs. Because, you know, that game is so stats heavy.
That's a big pull that's a big pull that she can jump into afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if she's like, oh, I enjoyed the idea of, like, finding the purple weapons and the gold ones and then looking at stats and bouncing off not just attack, but, like, what about block and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Because if that's the case, then suddenly the world of RPGs just open, as you said, right? Like, oh, because, you know, and with most everything being loot and stat-based, it seems like a good teaser. So far, apparently she's digging it. I don't know how far she's in. She has selected a female Ivor.
Yep.
Which makes sense, because very similar to Odyssey, the female character's performance was way better than the dude.
I never heard as much noise when it came to Valhalla, but certainly in the case of Odyssey, Cassandra's amazing. In my opinion,
playing Valhalla, I'm like, the dude's boring. Not as boring as Alexios versus Cassandra.
I was just taking a look at my trophies for it. I'm like, oh, apparently I left Norway. That was the last thing I did. So like, I got nowhere, like complete prologue, leave Norway.
You started it.
I'd played like every Assassin's Creed up to that point, and I didn't bounce off this. It was just, I'd given a million hours to Immortals Fenyx Rising before that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you down the platinum along the way. And that one was also, my daughter had just been born. So I just spent so much time playing Immortals with the little baby bouncer on the front. She was a colicky baby, so she needed the little extra support, and I'm bouncing her around all night, just trying to get her to sleep and try and, you know, get everything out. And that's literally how I binged. He's having his Ben Starr moment.
Eye holes. Jesus Christ. Oh, don't do it again. Fucking lights.
He's having his Ben Starr moment.
Sorry, you're saying?
Anyway, no, that's all right. I was so burnt out after Immortals because it was a lot of long nights,
yeah.
No sleep, that I was just a little bit, okay, I need to move away from like a big Ubisoft open world for a while. Even though I got started, and then I was just like, nah, I've got nothing left in the tank for a game like this at this point in time. And unfortunately, because of that, like I'm very much, and we've spoken about this when it comes to the playing the Yakuza games, it's made it really hard for me to go back to Assassin's Creed. And I adore Assassin's Creed, but that game is unfinished. And then since then, Mirage, no. Shadows, no. I'm like, oh my God, they're getting away from me now.
Yeah.
So I need to get back into it.
Well, because like for me, I had never really enjoyed Assassin's Creed as much. Like I played the original one. I remember getting it on the PS3 back in the day. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. But never really played two. And then I found like thematically they didn't really interest me for a while. And then
yeah, okay.
When they took because everything was wasn't vibing for it at the time. And then they took the year off and they brought out Origins. So I was like, oh, okay, well maybe this is, you know, I like Egypt.
The hard reset.
You know, they're wanting to do something, and they intentionally built the game differently. I'm like, yeah, I'll check with it. It'll be cool. And I didn't play much Origins. I was like, all right. Odyssey, though, I played a good hunk of. I liked Valhalla. I really enjoyed it for what I played, and played probably 10-ish hours at tops at the time. And I was digging it, but I could feel like that grind, like right at, you know, yeah, right away. And I think similar to yourself, because it was right around launch of the PS5. So I remember heading off playing a bunch of other games instead. And it's Spidey, one of those things like, oh, I wouldn't like going back. Yeah. I think Miles Morales took a lot of my time.
And Betson was such a, we spoke so much about how we were big Bugsnax fans before the launch.
But the game was really good. Like once I played it, the game fucked. It was awesome.
I still refused to play it. I couldn't play it.
Look, I had that stance. I enjoyed being a contrarian. And then I played it. I'm like, this game fucks. It's really fun.
Yeah, I need to do it sometime. And it's probably not even that long of a game to play.
No, it's not bad at all. I think I platinumed it. I think I did.
Did you now?
I wanted to. I certainly tried to. I remember now. Maybe I'm lying. Either way, I think I really tried to. But yeah, so like I said, asking about Hal, I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? She's like, first thing she did when she got into the town was got herself all inked up. And then I later was found she did her first like bum rush of some beach on a big longboat, beating up folks. And yeah, she seems to be digging it. It's a good start.
Oh, geez, you did get close to the plat.
Did I?
Oh, wait, no, you did get the plat. Sorry, it's just because there's DLC. So
why the fuck did I do that? I think that was just to prove a point, right? I was like, fuck this game. Played it. I'm like, this game's really good. And you know what? I'm going to platinum it to prove how wrong I was. And I, yeah, not couldn't be
one day
happy
one day.
To be happy to be wrong. I was really taken aback by that game. And I wish I went, wish I finished that DLC. It was just too long, but you know, too long between drinks. And I couldn't really wait to get back. But anyway, let's get into the section where we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Now, Padge.
Do you want? Do you want to get into the news and then talk about your one? That way we've we break up the big bets in gaming and
I did just talk a whole lot, didn't I? Very good point. So let's jump in. We'll come back to the dubba-da-dubba-da E stuff.
And because I don't have shit to say, so I can even just sit here and take the news and then we'll go from there.
Actually, there's not much news at all. Yeah, go ahead. Tear it up, Paul. Let's roll.
All right. Sony is sending in-console messages encouraging users on PS4 to upgrade to a PS5. PlayStation began sending official in-console notifications to PS4 owners in late January of 2026. Messages specifically mention upcoming 2025 and, recent 2025 titles and 2026 game releases available only on PS5. Notification references titles like Clair Obscur Expedition 33, Ark Raiders, Ghost of Yote, Saros, 007 First Light, and Neo 3. The message includes a QR code. Yeah, geez, you can tell Max's AI this bad boy because the wording just drives me fucking wild. Messages include QR code linking to PlayStation's official website with pricing information and current deals. The message says, now's the imperfect time to upgrade your PS5 console. Represents direct approach to,
get a PS5, you fucking dorks.
But as Max kind of notes with the final bit there, the timing is potentially strategic. They may be preparing for the major 2026 releases. Of course, they've got some of their own, like Wolverine, but then there is a little game called GTA 6 that's due to release later this year.
Yeah, so...
might make a few waves.
Look, yeah, GTA 5, yeah, 6 is going to do some things. But it is interesting, especially if we talk about with the PS6 allegedly meant to being right around the corner. It's a smart move because the last thing you want to have is three different consoles going at the same time.
Well, I mean, there's all this talk that the PS6 is delayed to as far back as 2028.
Well, that's only 2 years. Like, I'd push it 2030 if I could.
I mean,
only because I want to buy a Pro and then I want that Pro to last me a good handful of years. You know what I'm saying? Like, it baffles me that people are still playing on PS4. Not because I'm like, what? It's just more like it runs like ass.
But what are they playing? They're playing Fortnite. They're playing Minecraft. True. They're playing Roblox. They're playing games that aren't overly demanding on the system. So if that's the sort of gamer that they are, then there's not a lot of incentive to go and upgrade because what does it really do for me?
Well, if that's the kind of gamer they are, like the notification...
That's why GTA 6 is the big one.
Well,
I saw that.
There's a random bug just flew in. The games that they've listed, none of them will intrigue people if that's what they play. So it is like the answer is they're just going to have to like sort of cut it off, right? Whatever the PS4 is, and just head to the PS5. Like
they won't.
They won't because they should have already. But it's interesting. Like And I'm still something over my
Mega Man, Mega Man, what is it? Mega Man, whatever that 12? New Mega Man is that's coming out next year, the one that was announced. Isn't 12 already a thing?
Sure.
I don't know. Whatever, double something, the one that's kind of clearly like Mega Man and Cross Mega Man X. Yeah. But anyway, the one that was announced at the Game Awards is coming out next year. That's announced for PS4.
But see, that's the most insane part. There are games that are still coming to PS4, which is bizarre.
Because those particular games can still run on the PS4.
It was Mega Man 12. Thank you, Mute.
It's not called Mega Man 12.
Overcharge. Yes, it's not a number. It doesn't have a number in the name, but it is ostensibly 12, I think.
Yeah, it's coming across that way, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, a bunch of people still, you know, games still releasing on the console. There's, once again, that further reduces the incentive to upgrade. And the same as me right now. So I'm talking about the PS5 Pro. I still really want one, but I'm battling that internal decision. Like, do I want the upgrade just because it sounds cool? And I don't. Maybe there won't be that drastic of a difference. But I feel like every week I'm talking
dual
about
PS5, override.
PS5 Pro. Dual override. Thank you. And even me as an enthusiast, like I had my point of like, oh, do I need one? Nah, probably I don't. So I imagine the average player is like, do I really need a PS5?
GTA will force their hand.
Exactly.
But also, that says...
That's why I want
like,
a Pro.
So
I want a Pro for GTA 6.
Yeah. We've been seeing all these numbers that, PS5 is just slightly behind the PS4 when it comes to console sales.
For now.
But when you put it in perspective, you go, at the equivalent point in the story of the PS4, we kind of had, it's weird, we had our remaster of GTA 5, so they'd kind of double dipped there. Call of Duty was its absolute peak at that point. Like that, there was probably more of those big public, you know, broad audience catching games that were drawing people in. We haven't really had that to the same extent because those games you've still been able to play on your PS4. So this is the big one. I think this will be the moment where the PS5 pushes in front of the PS4 at the equivalent point of its life of its lifespan.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what the future holds for the numbers. Like, I know most people don't give a shit about fucking sales numbers, and neither do I. It doesn't change my overall opinion. But I'm like, I'm just curious. Like, as an example, like at the staff party for JB Hi-Fi that I went to last night, like they talked about some of the stats of, like, you know, how much money the store has moved and how much money has come through the store, how many like phones they've sold. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, just interest out of numbers, not because I don't give a flying fuck about
the perspective.
Yeah, the company making money, who cares? But I just want to see what is that like point, you know, for GTA 6. Like that is going to be very interesting for me.
Speaking
of things that are very interesting to me, God of War, further casting has come through. We have Alistair Duncan will be reprising his role as the world's... What?
World Serpent.
Normangander. What?
Yeah.
Hang on. Max, I appreciate you scrubbing the internet to make this a little bit easier, but...
Yeah, he's coming back as Mimir.
Yeah. That's what I fucking thought. Okay, well, let's fix that. Alistair Duncan is reprising his voice role as Mimir, the Scottish thing, dude, head that hangs off Kratos' butt and provides awesome story exposition. Big dude. I loved it. Danny Woodburn and Jeff Golka playing a Brock and Sindri. Additional casting announcements for key characters. Oh, that's already...
Yep.
The next line, Brock and Sindri have been here in the cast. The following line, additional casting announcements for key characters are in the works. They just happened, a line above. series represents major
investment. Didn't we get some Freya casting as well?
Yeah, let me have a look. Let me have a squiz. God of War.
I'm just quickly bouncing into news. I could be wrong. I'm sure I saw something about that, but it was Twitter, so who knows? It could have been fake.
There we go. So we got Ryan Hurst as Kratos, which we covered. Oh, here we go. Olafur Dari Ofelsson. He has been cast as Thor. Most people would best know him in his role within Succession. He has that really kind of like good voice. And like, what's the word? Like, not menacing demeanor, but like, and like a very authority. Like when he's in Succession, he's quite a tall, big unit of a dude, and he's just an intimidating presence. And I think for Thor, that's going to be fantastic. We previously have discussed Teresa Palmer as Sif. She's best known for roles in Warm Bodies and Fall Guy. Oh yeah, Max Parker. He's playing Heimdall, which would be cool. Mandy Patinkin will be playing Odin. He is fantastic. I quite like him as an actor. However, it is interesting they just didn't use Richard Skiff, you know, the guy literally who did the voice, who was Richard Odin. Schiff,
yeah.
But I assume his voice work and his likeness is way cheaper than his "you need to act in this TV series." Yes, in the Go Montoya. Alistair Duncan's returning as Mimir, Jeff Golka as Sindri, and Danny Warburton as Brock, and that is it. So it is really coming together. What is one thing that people have commented on socials and that I hadn't really considered, but because I was just more excited by the news itself, was they're casting a lot of people that appeared in Ragnarok compared to 2018. So What
they are, yes.
What is going to be interesting is on how they're telling the story. We are know that they are telling the story from 2018, at least in the first season. And, you know, are we going to be then able to see, pardon me, what the gods were doing while 2018 happened?
I mean, it feels like it. Or they're just, you know, we're getting the story of 18, but they are blending a little bit more into it. They might be blending a bit of Ragnarok.
But also knowing that season two has been booked even without season one. Maybe they're just getting in early. They're just going to bank film a bunch of shit, I suppose. But also knowing that, potentially. Because, you know, with the idea of them doing in 2018, they're going to potentially have throwbacks or memories or visions or whatever of the Greek times. Maybe they can have like flash forwards as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they're going to fuck with time a little bit.
There's options.
Bunch of different things that can be done.
It actually just turns out that they're going to do 2018 and Ragnarok together, and then season two is, all right, let's go back and do Greek.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
Just for lols, just for shits and gigs.
Yeah, they're going to do Ascension just because.
Season two is a prequel.
Let's do like Chains of Olympus or Ghost, and they introduce like,
I didn't even mean Chains of, but I just meant like Greek being the prequel.
Yeah, that'd be actually.
Yes.
That'd be fucking sick. How are you? I know we've discussed it like week on week, but Padge, how are you feeling about this as it's coming together?
Yeah, I'm happy. Season two of The Last of Us didn't hit the same highs as season one, but it's still pretty damn good television. And most of the people who complain are the same people who complain about the game because they're bigoted pieces of shit.
Yeah, pretty accurate.
There's also some that are reasonably, you know, saying, look, it's not quite the same. The delivery, you can kind of question the way some of the decision-making has, led the story to play out. And I kind of understand and agree with some things, but I'm happy with where they're at. I haven't watched season two of Twisted Metal yet, but I'm hearing that that continues to be really good. I loved season one. I thought it was a lot of fun. And I just haven't caught season two yet. I haven't even started season. I know it's not PlayStation, but I haven't caught season two of Fallout yet. Like, I'm a bit behind on everything right now.
That's quite good.
It's one of those. I'm like, I'll just watch it all when it comes out, when it's all done.
Yeah.
Which it is. Is it all done? Is it all done this week?
Oh, it's pretty close. Hang on.
But anyway, the PlayStation Productions form is good. So at this point, I'm just going to trust them. Amazon, I don't trust, but PlayStation Productions.
It's interesting you say that, because like, I would have said the same until watching. Yes, there's one more episode of season two of Fallout, and it's in a couple of days, 2 days, 3 days. Either way, I would have said the same about that, but until watching Fallout and the level of respect and care that at least this team are putting into Fallout from the world and even all the things that are stupid gimmicks of Fallout, like they make stim packs look
didn't they get a Nolan like Christopher or Jonathan Nolan like that? I feel like that makes a big difference, right?
It would help, but Amazon, anyway. I'm like, sure, we'll see where it goes. Speaking of seeing where things go,
the PlayStation Portal potentially is getting an OLED version. There's some rumors kicking around about it. Sony reportedly is developing the OLED screen variant of the PlayStation Portal handheld device, potentially releasing in 2026, is being discussed in some industry reports. The OLED upgrade would significantly improve screen brightness, color accuracy, and battery efficiency. It directly addresses early criticisms about the PlayStation Portal's LCD display quality and positions Sony to compete more effectively with the Nintendo Switch OLED market dominance. Yeah, okay. I guess they don't have an OLED screen in the Switch 2, but they will presumably one day. They're expected to maintain a similar form factor while enhancing the technical specifications, but the pricing strategy is critical. It must balance premium features with affordability for mass market adoption. To be fair, it is selling 7% conversion rate at the moment. You know, those who've got a PS5 already had one or have been buying one, 7% of those have been buying a Portal, and that is seemingly a small number, but when you're at nearly one in 10 a pretty good number. Like that's, I mean, what are we at the moment? 80, how many million consoles are we at the moment? Like mid-80s? Probably 85 times 0.07. You've sold about 6 million of those.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Plus.
Yeah, so...
I'm seeing Maxi's dropped a sentence in right under that one saying, I'm trying to re-edit this on the fly. I hope it updates in real time. It is updating in real time.
It is updating in real time. we may have to crack.
May as well just done the show, hey.
We may have to do some sort of hybrid model on the news because I feel like an asshole making Max do the news each and every week, but I do all the other parts, so. And I don't want to.
I bounce. I don't do anything, and then I leave for a few weeks. So
yeah, true. But so both you and I are Portal users. I love my Portal.
Love my Portal.
I find the picture
quality. Playing a lot of Redacted on it.
Oh, nice. I have been playing. I tried to play a little bit of Yakuza on there, and like once again, because of the pixel density, it looks incredible. It looks remarkable. Like, would OLED be better? Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time. Would I buy a new one? Like, I have the 30th anniversary Portal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I really wanted that.
Yeah, and I'm very, very lucky that my friend Craig, Max in the chat says, bitch, you have a PS5 and you want to buy a new one. I know. Look. I'm trying to express that I have the impulse, but I'm trying to rationalize that I don't
girl need math.
It. I'm trying to like opposite girl math it. No, it's me going, I want that because the OLED screen would be a fantastic, the same as the OLED Vita. It's beautiful. But do I need it? No. So my question is, if they've already selling like 6 million of these bastards, is that really going to change the game? Are they trying to double dip? Or like, is the OLED going to grab
the... Wasn't all the talk that they were using... Wasn't the talk back in the day that they were just using old Xperia tablets anyway?
I think it turns out to be exactly true.
So it could also just be that like we're out of those. So now let's just...
That's funnier, actually. I quite like that even better.
Like, it's just like, we're not making more of these shitty ones because we don't have any of the old Xperia stock now to use. So let's just outfit them with a better screen now. And that is your one and only model because we're not making the other thing anymore.
Well, yeah, there's that. And I guess
it's like when the Switch put out there was a revision with a better battery. It came out like a year after the original Switch came out. It wasn't advertised as a new Switch. It wasn't anything. It was just a new hardware iteration, and in that hardware iteration it was like the battery is better. We see it with the consoles, even, you know, setting aside Slims and Pros, they get their chip size down, like all, you know, the silicon and shit. I don't know what I'm talking about, like but they get smaller parts, which then makes it cheaper, which like and this just becomes the standard version, and unless you actually pull it apart and look in there, you don't know, you're none the wiser because the exterior looks exactly the same. I think there's more of that stuff. There's potential for that sort of stuff too.
Well, yeah, like that's a big part of it too. And what I was also thinking, that with the idea of them potentially pushing back the PS6 and they're not going to be creating any revisions within the PS5 Pro, I don't foresee that. The PS5 Slim seems pretty standard at this point. And with the cost of hardware extrapolating, I don't see them going to be like, hey, here's our new PS5 Pro Max. Not going to do that. It's too expensive. So maybe like iterating on the Portal is the only way they can create new hardware revisions for the foreseeable future. Could be something as simple as that.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of a transition there, but I got nothing. Highguard dropped over the week.
Speaking of things people don't want.
Yeah, people think they don't want, they just appear. Have you checked it out?
No, and I won't.
No, I've downloaded it, and only because I want to...
It's not my shtick anyway. So.
Oh, it's not my shtick either, but if I'm going to like comment on something and give it some shit, potentially, I want to be able to at least back it up. Like even back in the day when I was like, when I gave Twilight shit, because it is crap. It is horrible book. I read that book to prove a point. And that book was really good for about half a page. And there was this big, big ass fight at the end of it. That was dope. That was the only good part. The rest was garbo.
Right.
But I can say that, you know, I mean, I can shit on that. I feel I can stand on that high ground and be like, no, I read it. I can shit on it. Haven't done that with High Guard. However, despite strong initial launch reception, High Guard is experiencing steep player count decline on PC specifically. Active player numbers dropped dramatically within the first few weeks post-release, and retention issues suggest potential problems with the core gameplay loop, as you'd kind of expect, or any lack of long-term content roadmap, especially in a games as a service like this. Community feedback indicating pacing problems and insufficient progression incentives. PC players showing a higher chance of poor retention compared to console, and developer response with meaningful content updates will be critical to reverse this negative outlook.
What's that? A problem with PC players? Surprise.
Oh, no. Who would have thought? So obviously, Padge, neither you or I have played this. So touching upon this news is less about the game itself and more around what is it going to be needed for someone to make a games as a service these days and be successful. Like, can you? I think Ark Raiders.
I mean, Helldivers, Ark Raiders, I do think Marathon. Yeah. And I think that's because of the Bungie clout. Prove that you can do it. You've got to be, I think it's one of those tricks. It's right place, right time, and delivered in the right way. I think about, and you know, a lot of these developers working on High Guard have this experience because they worked on Apex back in the day. Mm. And Apex came out of absolutely nowhere. Yeah. Now, admittedly, things were a bit different. There was a lot fewer games of this type on the market, but like the whole method of delivery was right. Yeah. But I don't.
Tangentially.
Most people who bought it hadn't played Titanfall. The sales figures of Titanfall 2 prove that, right?
Yeah.
I don't think most people who ultimately have played Apex had any interest, or didn't. Or they certainly didn't buy it because it was attached to the Titanfall IP. But there's just a lot of right place, right time, sometimes right IP, but right marketing. And as much as Jeff Keighley has tried to do all he can, because he clearly believes in the game, I still think it was a bad decision to have it. Maybe he thinks it's an amazing game. Maybe there's millions of people out there that think it's an amazing game. There's clearly millions of people who don't, but like the decision to put that game as the final reveal at the Game Awards has been proven to have been a bad decision. Not that the game was bad, that the product placement was bad. And marketing can be everything. We see more and more, there's vitriol about games that haven't even come out, and that's problematic, I think. But this, and I don't think most people would argue that either, but this is just another victim.
Mm. Yeah.
Jeff mucked it up.
I certainly don't think...
It's so fascinating also in the days before when they were like, we planned on just dropping this, and then Jeff really liked it and he asked for us to put it on the show. Can you just imagine? Like, I'm wondering how many of them are going, fuck, why didn't we just do our own thing, do it our own way and surprise everyone?
I do wonder, once again, preface, neither Padre or I played it. I do wonder whether, because this has become such a vocalized piece of media, that's what, like, the drop off is going to be greater, because there is an intrigue was created where people wanted to see whether it was good or bad, not out of genuine interest for the game, but just out of the narrative. And the same reason that I'm keen to check it out, just simply because I want to know. And therefore, the drop-off will always be greater, because there's going to be a big influx of interest, as marketing should do. But in this case, the marketing isn't, you know, this isn't the good marketing buzz.
Yeah.
So people just wanted to hate.
We'll go on. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just for a bit of context as to where it's at, just to talk numbers a little bit. So it hit its peak, obviously, very, very quickly on its first day. That was on Steam. That was 97,249. Within 24 hours, it had dropped to about 13 to 15K, and it has just held that number since. obviously, like, it's, you know, it's fluctuated. There's peak hours, you know, different times of the world, but it is consistently just bouncing around this 12 to 13,000 number, this peak, yeah, you know, kind of daily peak. And honestly, look, if they can use that as a starting, like a launch pad, and then there's more content. They've spoken so much already about how we have all these plans for additional contact. It's basically ready to go. They very quickly pulled the trigger. Like, they saw the feedback that maybe 3-on-3 is not right. They've got a limited time only 5v5 mode that's out at the moment. Like, they've got plans. Maybe they need to accelerate a few of those to just get, like, grease the wheels and get a bit of buzz going. Get a few more people dipping their toes back in. They maybe find something they like, and that number starts to tick upwards.
I was going to say, like,
13,000 is not an impressive number, but it's better than a lot of games.
Oh, absolutely. And it does, you know, there has been precedent for people to come back to games and give them time, and they maybe can earn some additional praise. An example being No Man's Sky. That game had incredible
Final Fantasy 14.
Yep. But No Man's Sky specifically came out in a very different time. And it had a positive hype going into it that led to disappointment. So if everyone was like expecting it to be bad, goes in, game is bad, apparently, then they bounce, right? Most of the time these days in various conversations, people just want to prove they're right. They just want their biases to be confirmed. It's not about having your opinion change. It's about, can you prove that what I think is correct? Cool, thank you. I don't give a fuck about the other side. So I think Highguard are fucked either way. It would have been nice if they were able to do it themselves and sort of see in this alternate timeline of what it could have been, what it could mean, but we will never know. Hopefully I'll check it out over the week, and I'll have something to say next time we sit down. Speaking of next time we sit down, something could be happening. Allegedly, according to the old Nate the Hate, PlayStation State of Play could be coming. As of yet, there is no official announcement or any official incline. There is commonly a State of Play in February. We are in February as of right now. Time of recording is the 1st of Feb. I'm not a big fan of speculating on State of Plays anymore, Padge. I feel like I just get disappointed, not in them happening. I watch them and I go, oh, okay, cool. But it's just like every time someone's like, there's a State of Play next week. I'm like, oh, is it? And it never fucking happens.
No, as soon as you Nate the Hates and Jeff Grubbs also commented, as soon as they start getting involved, I believe it.
If anything, it'll be the talk bit of GTA, is, bit of fucking Wolverine, Saris.
I don't think GTA will be anywhere near it. But Saris, I think so.
Oh, I mean, like a little trailer, like it just a reminder that, hey, you should buy a PlayStation and play this game.
And like a sizzle reel.
Yeah.
Get off your PS4! no, I mean, I believe this is coming. They've had one in Feb for years now. This is almost annualized that they'll have one at this kind of window, in this window of time. So, and Nintendo is allegedly doing the same thing this coming week. And again, that came from, I think, Nate the Hate or Jeff Grubb or both. People who are in the know that are kind of trusted and have done the thing many times are saying the same thing. So I believe it. But to your point, like expectations and those sort of things, expectations of what's going to be there, I'm trying to just have less and less, not because they've disappointed me, but because I don't want to get carried away about the idea that, oh, this is the finally the time when we get the God of War 2.5 platformer that's allegedly a thing, but it is only allegedly a thing. So it may or may not show up because it may not actually be a thing. This, that, and the other. Like, it's just, I'm happy to just let it come along and be really impressed by something awesome if it shows.
Yeah, and then PlayStation, PlayStation themselves, first party, etc., they are a lot more, you know, guarded than ever before. They say less and less. I think it was, I forget where it was said recently, but they're like one or two tentpole games a year. So, like, we already know about Saros, we already know about Wolverine. Like, there's no other sneaky game that's coming out this year, likely.
Tokon Fighting Souls.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. We get next one. But you know what I mean? Like, previously it was like, oh, there was that comment of we want two tentpole games a year, whichever, right?
Yeah.
And anything else is kind of added bonus. So like we are getting more than that this year. So don't expect any sort of like major of like, hey, this is coming out in like 6 months or something. That is a PlayStation first party experience, right? Well, I think mostly like they have been, it's mostly very similar to these partner directs, right? It's like, it's not on what we're doing, it's what everyone else is doing on our platform.
It's probably that's fine, because there's lots of good stuff coming. There's so many third parties and indies doing great stuff that I don't need PlayStation to deliver. Hell, Xbox is putting their game, like Max has dropped Fable in the comments. Like, Fable's coming to PlayStation maybe this year, Max. I'm going to sow those seeds of fear for your draft. Maybe it comes this year. It's coming day one, but day one could be in 2027. We're going to get Forza this year. We're going to, you know, get Halo this year. We're going to get GTA this year. We're going to get all these, you know, awesome third-party things. Like, I don't need... We're going to get Resident Evil Requiem soon. Like, we don't need PlayStation to put out, you know, 6 or 7 games a year and try and light it up. It's just not necessary.
Nah.
And if anything, they're going to stomp on their own toes, and they actually did that to themselves a lot back in the PS3 era. Mm. Starhawk and Sly 4 and Puppeteer and all these things that just came rolling out, and they all got in each other's way.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, yeah, you don't need a fancy, you know, state of play to tell you what games to be excited about. Sometimes you just get a lovely little link in your email and you go, oh, hello. That sounds like a bit some kind of thing. So this is where I get to have some fun, and Max is probably just going to leave the chat. This week, I had a very interesting and surprise appear in my... Oh, thanks, Patch. I'll let you have a snooze in your footy shirt. So this week I got an email from our good friends over at 2K and Double Jump, who are their... no, it's not. Yes, it is.
Handlers, yes.
Yes, it is. Which is like, hey, we've got access to a behind closed door developer roundtable for WWE 2K25. Do you want to check it out? Here's the link. I'm like, yeah, I want to fucking check it out. Click that link, and it was about an hour long developer chat within the last 20 or so minutes, which is kind of questions. And it went through literally everything that you need to know about WWE 2K25. So as I'm watching it, I am just like noting up Storm, which I haven't done in ages. I don't do that for state of plays anymore. Like, it felt very old. Like, once I was watching it, and WWE 2K26.
It was excitement, Benson.
There was genuine excitement. I was like, I apparently got slightly taken out of my, you know, functional depression. And I was like, this is something that I feel feelings towards. This is cool. Yeah, so WWE 2K26 roundtable. I'm just going to run through a bunch of things that excite me, that I think are worth knowing. Padge, you won't make sense of many of it, but I appreciate you taking the time to listen and pretend to care. And that's also what I say to Phoebe when I told her about this game too.
I'll just pop an air.
Yeah, just catch up on something else. So WWE 2K26 is coming out on March 13th of this year. That is the general release date for the standard edition. The early access editions will be available a week earlier on March the 6th. Because like any 2K game, Max, or any game that comes out, Padge, fuck, I'm so used to this yelling at Max about things. Let's try again. Unlike every 2K game, Padge, there is very rarely just one version. There are four versions of WWE 2K26 this year. I see you shaking your head, and I agree with you.
NBA 2K does it too. Like, they do. Like, I know. It's just... Ugh.
So there is the standard edition that is has CM Punk on the cover. CM Punk is one of the only individuals to ever be on the cover twice. He is the main focal point of the game in the showcase mode, which we'll get to in a moment. There is the King of Kings edition, which is ostensibly their deluxe edition. It has Triple H on the cover, and it just comes with some extra DLC and stuff. It's kind of fun. Then there was the Attitude Era edition. So the Attitude Era was one of the most pivotal parts of the WWE in the late 90s, kind of early 2000s, that really shaped what the WWE would become. which is exciting, which is fun. And then finally, the Monday Night Wars edition. So during this window of time, there was a competing brand on another network called WCW. They both ran shows on Monday nights for WWE Raw, WCW Monday Night Nitro. There was the what was the Monday Night Wars, right? Eventually, WCW lost. They were purchased by WWE, brought into the brand. All you need to know is that is a very big part of WWE's history, so it's an easy branding win. As mentioned, there is the showcase mode. So the showcase mode, Padge, which you, I'm sure, having never played a WWE game, it's kind of like their, it's not quite their campaign because that's a different thing. It's like we have picked our cover athlete and we're going to tell their story or a big part. To the show, for the baseball. Yeah, you played MLB the Show. You know, when they're like, hey, we're going to show you all of like whatever was the Negro League.
They get real deep dive. Yeah.
For the version that you and I played last year. So it's all about CM Punk. You get to relive a lot of his biggest moments in his career. CM Punk has a history where he, on one show, sat down, cut a promo that was what was called the pipe bomb, where he was like, fuck this company, fuck him, fuck you, fuck that guy, and he left. So legitimately left. And then there was
that's energy I can get around.
And there was a big window of time that he wasn't around. So in the showcase mode, they're kind of creating what they kept referring to as fantasy warfare. They're like, what if he didn't leave? Let's tell a story. Let's create an alternate universe that he stayed and that he took on all these other wrestlers that he never got to see before. Like, so I kind of like that as a fun little what if story. That could be interesting. And I like CM Punk. You know, it's kind of cool. Speaking of CM Punk, like, he is one of the over 400 playable characters, superstars that will be in the game. They don't say superstars, I said other characters as well. There's a bunch of new guys that are coming in, which I won't list any because it means nothing to you, Padge.
It will.
Yeah, for those that do give a shit, Joe Hendry is your pre-ordered DLC character. Superstar wrestler means nothing to Padge.
It's a very basic and boring name relative to CM That's kind Punk of the point. And Triple H and... What a bland individual.
400 characters, Max. Dame Duty Dench in the chat. It's CM Punk has cult of personality. Yes, that is correct. He is the cult of personality guy. We'll go into the other mode. So there is the My Rise mode, which is the road to the show, which is the career mode where you create your character. You go in there, you do a thing. They didn't really jump into it too much this year. It's more around, like, rather than the story is very similar, like, that you can choose, like, a heel path or a bad guy path and a good guy path and whatever. They didn't really touch upon that too much outside of there's a lot of things that in the My Rise mode that will unlock things you can use in other modes. And even once you complete the My Rise mode, normally just cuts it and you go, hey, you've done it, make a new character, I guess. In this, you can continue playing the game. You can keep going and with that character and, unlock more things as you go, which is kind of fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. So there's My Faction, which is like the card-based game, very similar to Diamond Dynasty that we would have played in MLB The Show. Some major changes in this one. Because they've kind of brought things over from other modes and other things into this. They have brought over intergender matches from the game into My Faction. So normally it was divided by your men's roster and your female's roster. Never the twain shall meet. Now you can kind of alter them a little bit, which makes it fun. They also have what's called My Faction Chemistry. By now opening the ways at which you can play, they need to sort of be like, well, rather than just like playing a bunch of high numbered cards, that would give you those advantages, they have a thing called My Faction Chemistry. So certain cards play better with one another and is the same team or, collectively, if you had them all in your setup. So you're not just like, here's 17 CM Punks. Here's 5 Brock Lesnars. I have 7 Rocks. You're not going to kind of do that. They kind of want to find a way to sort of, to mesh a little bit.
Differentiate them.
Yeah, differentiate a little bit. Before I jump into what is my favorite mode, which is GM mode, I want to talk about just some major changes to the game overall because they kind of fall within it. They have increased a bunch of the gameplay options. There are four new match types. One is the Inferno match, which for anyone that knows, it's a signature of like Kane, Undertaker's brother. That is when they've set up a bunch of flames around the ring. So the idea is if you get thrown out of the ring, you get set on fire. That was the gimmick of the match. They've brought that in, which is cool. The dumpster match. So right, this could have been email, and it was an email. Like, yeah, I'm touching on upon the parts, and then I'm like, oh,
whatever. She's staring at it. It's all right. That's what I did in the chat.
Let me get excited. Fuck. Yeah, the dumpster match. So like, there are other match types where it's like an ambulance or a casket either is beat the fuck out of the person, put them in container, closed container. Congratulations, you win. They have that now with a dumpster. Now I feel so self-conscious. I'm going to have to fucking rip through this. They've also added three stages of hell, which is the mode type where it's three stages of hell is where it's one match, but there are three stipulations within the one match, each separated by a different pinfall. So you could be the first.
I was hoping you like fight the devil or something. Like it's a really loose mode where you just start fighting the like a demon.
I guess you kind of could if you're Demon Finn Balor, who's the guy behind me over here. If you can see.
Oh my god! Okay.
Yeah, right. There is a demon. So you could have like a street fight into a no holds barred into a steel cage or a hell in a cell. You know, you could kind of do all. And the game treats it as one match. It doesn't like there's not loading screens between each stipulation. Like there will be some sort of cutscene or something to identify the change. But you know what I mean. You're not helping, Max. I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna have to. Like you're fucking killing me.
No.
Yeah, there's other things that get me excited, but you need to
just leaning into we're just leaning into the theatrics of not knowing shit about wrestling.
Yeah, all right, cool. There's other things in there, like there's more interactive entrances now, so you can fuck with them a little bit more to make them more your own. That's interesting. I like that. The commentary team has been in expanded because they've now altered who they are in each one. Thumbtacks are now a playable weapon. Something that's fun in wrestling is thumbtacks. They pour them on the ring, you smash them, whatever. By extension, they've now added additional damage mechanics into weapons. Previously, if you hit someone with a chair and then you drop the chair, and if you were to smack someone onto said chair, they wouldn't receive any additional damage. The game would treat it just like the floor. By bringing in the thumbtacks, which creates a weapon that it can only be, used by hitting it on the ground, they'll be able to bring that into any other weapon that is around.
One of the things you mentioned there that actually caught my interest, and I don't give a shit about wrestling games, but when you're talking about the interactive intros and those sort of things, that's one of the things that whether it's a sports game, whether we're talking about a Mortal Kombat or whatever it is, where you choose your character, you get into your match, and then just whatever pre-canned little mini cutscene just kind of plays out. Are you talking about when you say these interactive ones, are you talking about through the lens of you can pick that someone walks in, flexing and versus someone else that could be, I don't know, revving up the crowd or whatever it happened. I actually quite like that because it does, with some of those different types of games, again, whether they're sports games or even, something like a Mortal Kombat or whatever fighting game, it is. You pick your character and there's just nothing. You're just basically watching a cutscene now that you've got no real agency over until you start your match. I like the idea that maybe you could, walk out there, rev up the crowd, flip off some other bloke, Bailey Smith style, and have a whole lot of fun with it. I actually think that's a really cool little addition that I'd like to see across lots of different games.
Well, one of the big fun parts of wrestling is its pageantry, right? Because it is just fucking, it's just community theater on a unreasonably large stage. So, yeah. Every wrestler has their own unique entrance, right? And if you were to go in and create a character, you can create the entrance exactly as you want. So I've talked about it previously, myself, Phoebe, and Craig, we make ourselves in the game because it's fun. And then we send those characters to our friend, and he has a pretend wrestling promotion on Twitch that's run all through WWE, the 2K games, right? So we are characters within his world, and we have custom entrances that we made. The interactivity here is exactly what you mentioned, right? Where you can pick what camera angles you use, you can pick where pyros go, where the pyro goes off. But normally it's you make it once in the create an entrance over here, and then it just runs the exact same one every time. But now you can go in and you can change it on the fly. Like you can change the camera angle, so you can choose when the pyro goes off manually, et cetera, et cetera.
Get the t-shirt guns.
Yeah, you could do that.
Stuff blasting you out in the crowd, yeah.
But one of the things they've also brought in as well is when you get in the ring, normally it's just kind of like they just kind of do like a little pump up, whatever, ding, 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 bell goes. It's not very exciting. They've now, where, yeah, you can, what's called a hot start, where you kind of just go. Like, you just kind of gun it at them before the bell rings. You can surprise attack them. You can walk up. You can shake their hands. You can, like, give the crowd to get you going. Like, those choice, it was just up until now in this current run of WWE games, it was stock R standard, where at least now you can create a little bit more of individual benefit. So like if you're playing against two characters that should hate each other, you in the version that you make, you can make them just jump the other guy and be like, fuck him. But if you're both if you're both good guys, you can make the choice for you for them to shake hands and be more respectful. Or, you know, if you want to have the match be the one that you turn heel, you can start the match as both good guys, but you do the, you know, it's little things that just kind of make it your experience, which is fun.
That bit of nuance. Yeah, that's cool. I like it.
Yeah, Max in the chat goes, can you change the pins required to the hell mode, or is it set as like customizable? Is that in, so you're talking about the three stages of hell? Yeah, so it, you can pick, so you can call a three stages of hell match, and then you can pick what three match types they are. And from what it sounds like, you can just make them whatever the fuck you want, which is pretty cool. You could have like casket, ambulance, and inferno if you want to. At least that's how it was told. The way it was expressed. They have updated the physics. They didn't do a full engine upgrade because they just kind of patch. They just like build the plane. Patch the plane as they're flying it because they have like 9 months to do it. They don't, can't really do too many massive upgrades. What else? Yeah, they've kind of expanded on just, you know, going out in the crowd. There's a bit more stuff out there to do. Because this is the first time that it's only PS5 or Xbox One. So they're
cutting. Okay.
Yeah, so they're able to do a little bit more, at least from what they're saying, which is interesting. That includes one of the zones called the Island. This was appeared last year for the first time. It was kind of like the mode in 2K where you get to create a character in this big community world and you go in and do stuff. It had great promise and potential. Sadly, it didn't deliver on any of that. But this year, at least, they're sounding like they're wanting to build on it and add it in a different way. By actually having like voice cutscenes and a bit more creation. The story of this one is that, you know, Roman Reigns was previously the tribal chief, the big head of the table. As he's no longer within that role, within character, there was a power vacuum in the island, and now there's three factions fighting to crown the new leader of the island, essentially. And you pick your faction and
right.
have fun with it. For those that give a fuck about the creation suite, it's quite as extensive. Like, it does seem like an email because there's so many fucking changes. Like, it's genuinely interesting how much they're doing. Like, previous years, it's just been like, I've done this and I've done this and a little bit of this. But this is like, no, we are doing a lot. And with 2K25 being the most highly critiqued and scored version of WWE 2K ever, like, it's good that they are not resting on that and choosing to expand it in other ways. So creation suite's interesting. So you can have up to 200 characters now that you can make locally before your account craps itself. Previously, you know, they have custom image slots. So if, like, if you make a bunch of custom characters, you know, you need images of, like, tattoos or whatever, or item pieces. Formerly, it was 1,000. They've now doubled it to 2,000. People have been wanting this for years. So for those that do have custom shit, there's a lot more room to move. Before I jump into the big change, which is how their DLC model works, which I think will be interesting for you, is my GM, which is the mode that I spend the most time on. Like, I think I cleared like 170 something hours in WWE 2K25 over last year, and a lot of that was spent in the GM mode. And it's because, you know, it's the thing that Phoebe, Craig, and myself do each and every week. You know, we create our fantasy football version of WWE. So this year there's quite a number of changes in GM mode, which gets me excited. Normally it's separated up, Padge, is that it's a 25-week season, and it's separated into 4 weeks of television and then a pay-per-view, 4 weeks of television, pay-per-view, so on, right? So they've now doubled that. It's 50 shows a season instead of 25. So seasons feel like they actually feel like a full year. So previously, you know, when you're only working, when you're doing 25 shows, that's 5 pay-per-views. So they just kind of picked out of the pool of pay-per-views, be like, it's a backlash now. It's Money in the Bank. And then it always ends at WrestleMania, where now it's going to feel a bit more structured, I think. You can kind of be like, it's a year's worth of storytelling leading into WrestleMania. So one of the big things that I talk about this a lot when it comes to wrestling in general. I think gender-based wrestling is fucking stupid and very outdated. So to have intergender wrestling be implemented in some modes last year, to now have it be implemented across every mode is awesome. So now in my GM, we can have intergender matches, which is sick. Big fan of that. Super keen. I can tell so many more stories. I can now have anyone fight whoever I want. Up until then, the most amount of people you could have in a match in my GM was 4. So you could have like a tag team match or a gauntlet match. That's kind of the most you could do. They've now upped that to upwards of 5, 6, or 8. So you can now have literally 4 tag teams going in the one match, which is awesome. That'll be really, really fun. All the match types that I listed earlier are playable in that game in my GM as well. So for myself and Phoebe and Craig, like how we play this game each and every year is just getting more and more interesting. And they're just making it like, so as we have gotten better over the last couple of years, like the game has added more to us and is continuing to give us a new challenge every year, which I'm excited for. But the big thing is how... So,
I was going to say, you were going to talk about DLC, yeah.
Yeah, so previously the way it would work is that they would go, here's a season pass and you are going to get 4 DLC packs. We may not know what they are yet, but you're going to get them. And they normally come with like 5 new characters, some cards for my faction, and, you know, a couple other little things, like some gear and stuff, right? They're pretty straightforward. This year they have gone and put that to the wayside. They have jumped onto every other business model that everyone else does in the idea of the battle pass.
Okay.
So it's called the Ringside Pass. So the idea is that, you know, each season of the game pass.
Max says Wrestle Pass.
Almost, very close. each season of the Ringside Pass will be that DLC pack window. So the 5 characters that you would get are just now in this battle pass instead. So which is a great way to incentivize more play. And you can earn XP in that battle pass from near every mode. So it's not just like you must play this one mode. It's once again also incentivizing people to play modes they normally wouldn't. There are 60 free tiers and 40 premium tiers. So if you happen to pay for the premium version, you will just get those characters a little earlier in the pass than you would in the standard free one.
Okay. If you're the pleb.
Yeah, if you're the pleb. But of course, like most games with the battle pass, you can just pay to get through to the end. So you just go, here's money, give me all my shit. Which is pretty cool if you want to be that guy. And from what it sounds like, there's no, hey, it's a new season now, you can't get any of the other stuff. It just kind of keeps adding on to it. Very similar to what Arc Raiders does, where it just starts going, hey, this is the first season. You still can go in there and get what you want, but here's second season.
Yeah, Helldivers does the same thing.
Yeah, which is it's a really good way to go about it. What else? Let's see.
I don't know shit about wrestling. So.
Yeah, no, that's.
I don't even have questions.
No, that's fine. Yeah, and that's kind of it. As I know, as you said, I just kind of read out an email, which is pretty true. But with there being
the thing is, they were all your takeaways. They were your observations.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're probably in the press release as well. But like, that's the stuff that you've cottoned onto, and like that's for someone who knows their way around these games, you go, here's a laundry list of things that are different. That's going to be appealing to people who've been immersed in that franchise for a while.
Yeah, and I imagine most people would probably just check out. But knowing that they're, yeah, that each, granted, each and every year, especially when it comes to annualized games, there's always this expectation to be kind of minimal effort stuff. And many of these are just kind of like individual things. It's not like they had this, we're completely revamped the game and it's everything brand new. It's like they've gone, all right, well, we have this list that we want to do. We couldn't do all of it. Like we, there are some things that we should have put in everything last year, like the intergender matches as an example. They've now rectified that. Like we're going to make up for what we couldn't do last time, which is really cool. And then we're going to add some interesting things. Because other thing I forgot to mention as well with the weapons is you can now, there's shopping carts as well, which will be fun. There's also, you can double stack tables. So if you, rather than putting someone through one table, you can set up two. Something that everyone kind of wants, especially now that you can do stuff like that, is finishes off the top of the ladder. So if you're doing a ladder match, previously, if you had a finisher that was like a big diving one, you couldn't do it anywhere but the turnbuckle. But they've now been able to go, okay, if you're at the top of the ladder and you want to do that big move, it now works. So like if you were in a steel cage, which is, you know, big high above the ring, you could blast someone, you could drop a finisher off the steel cage onto someone through a double stack tables if you wanted to. Like they've kind of really just added a lot to make it yours and make it your own. Because it's all well and good to play what we watch on television, but when you can go in and really make it yours, that's exciting.
Makes a big difference.
Like there are some things that didn't really get touched upon. Like they didn't talk more about like options within the creative mode. They didn't mention any changes or improvements to say like belt customization, which is probably one of the moments. Like the game looks really good when it wants to show you the stuff it makes. But anytime you make any custom stuff, it always kind of looks like poo.
Yeah, no surprise.
So, like, if there's ways that you can improve that, like the belt and stuff, which they didn't touch upon. But when you look, like, there was a trailer that went up today with the Royal Rumble, which was the pay-per-view that was on this morning. Previously, the big focus of the 2K games has been about realism, right? Like, making the wrestlers look as real as possible. It feels like they've kind of shifted away from that a little bit into more of like, well, it's not quite caricature, but it's like, it looks like him enough that it's a little cartoonish. So you're not going to be like, well, it doesn't look like him. It's just like, well, it looks as close to them as you can kind of get without it being ultra realistic. Which does help because, you know, it's very easy for the game to look like shit, you know, with like hair physics and all this sort of stuff that it's got to keep on. Because it's not quite a sim. It's the most sim version of WWE games that are available. There are other versions, like there's Battlegrounds, I think, when it came out a couple years ago, which was kind of more caricature and it kind of looked like poo. But thank you for listening to that for fucking 20 minutes. But yeah, as I said, I wasn't kind of joking at the beginning. Like I rarely do I get fucking excited about shit in general, especially games. You know, so watching this being like, oh, I'm actually excited for what this could be was really cool. Yeah, and I feel like there's enough improvements in there that just to kind of, yeah, make it something into, ideally, yeah, I don't know where I'm going with it. I've kind of either way, that's everything. For games that actually people might be excited for, here are games that are coming out this week.
That one's just coming out in March, so we've got a month of games to come out first. So, firstly, PlayStation Plus Essentials. We've got four of them coming this week: Undisputed, Subnautica Below Zero, Ultros, and Ace Combat 7 Skies Unknown. They're all available through the Essential tier beginning this week. But then
is that a sequel?
I think that's like DLC or something. I think it was like an expansion or something to the original. So you might get Subnautica and Below Zero bundled together now.
Undisputed is like a mixed martial arts game.
Right. Yeah. Cool. I wasn't sure what sort of fighting game it was. I just knew it was one. So coming Tuesday, you've got Tiny Biomes to PS5. Wednesday, you've got Dragon Quest VII Reimagined, Jimmy and the Pulsating Mass.
Name of your sex tape.
Surname is James. Lovish, which is also that's probably the subtitle to Jimmy and the Pulsating Mass. Thursday, we've got Bandit Trap, PS5, Carmageddon Rogue Shift, PS5, JDM, Japanese Driftmaster, PS5, My Hero Academia, All's Justice, the only justice if they would be if they stopped making these games, that comes to PS5, Neo 3, and Snow Brothers Classic Collection comes to PS5 as well. That's
there,
it.
There is a playable demo of Neo 3 out and available now. Max has checked it out.
As says it's there dope. Is for Dragon Quest also.
What, 7?
For 7 Reimagined, and that progress transfers into the full game when it comes out later this week.
Get excited. Get excited. For Dragon Quest, I assume, people. Look, Dragon Quest is like one of the most well-respected sort of JRPGs. It makes sense, but people should get excited. I'm not, because I don't fucking care. But there you go. I'm
smiling with excitement for the game.
Let that sit there for a sec. But anyways, that does bring us to the end of the show. Big thank you for everyone for taking the time to listen each and every week. And I said, time is the most precious thing we have in this world. And for whatever reason, you chose to spend it listening to this or be forced to if you're Padge or Max. But let's get out of here. So this PlayStation Conversation happened on a Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on your podcast services, 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you wanted to be in future conversations, be sure to check us out on our social media, Twitter, Discord, Instagram, whatever. Links are in the description below. But if you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We'll watch us record this show live. We can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you want to watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. And I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
And I'm Paul James.
And that was For the Players. Done.
For the Wrestlers.
For the Wrestlers this week.